interrupting the current neo-Uranial climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM557. Remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed, where you bring the miscreants behind the woodshed and teach them how to do what their job's supposed to do and stop messing with you. And you do it a lot more right than what we hear out around people who get themselves in trouble. As I go through this, I try to use the notice, most people think is the news, to explain to us what's going on and look into the future, peer into what's going on, being able to, if you will, predict the future. Actually, if you look back in those laws that no one wants to read too much about or think that they read, if you read enough of it, you'll start to see there's a picture being painted back there by those that occupy us. And some of that is through time is drawn off, or international law provides that laws can be changed through time to overthrow an organization, an establishment of government, as long as eventually you do it so that the people don't, the natives don't get restless. And once they do that, they've won. People don't even know it at that point if they've done it just right. You won't even see it. Well, that's what the United States of America really is all this time. Decades, century were the time. Century and a half has gone on. We've lost our bearings and lost our principles. And I started to read in on this when I watched a lot of people get hurt. Didn't want to be part of that crowd anyway, but I said, there's got to be something else going on here. Where did America went, folks? And I did law. I've been doing lots of reading, lots of study. And I think it's been able to serve me fairly well to explain where we went off the trail, where we missed the path, and how to get back possibly to it. But the occupiers and the conditions are such that they worked on us in a particular ways that actually targets the weak, our Achilles heel as a people underneath the establishment of the United States. That requires that most of us get together. And I'm saying about voting. I'm saying most of us in mutual defense of ourselves against those that occupy us can work together to throw them out in a way that's recognized under international law. Not the way you think it is, but the way it'll be imposed upon you, as we now see the Zionist Federation blowing that completely out, as I've told you would happen when felony and fraud became monetized, the wraps were off. We're watching, nobody seems to be able to understand how to stop this political movement coming under the color of a government, under color of a government of people. And even those people have been subsumed by it. Getting from there back to what I wanted to start with today, one of the ways they did it was to affect what we used as a medium of exchange for what we purchased, whether goods or services between us. You know, I've been advocating that we need to get back to gold and silver, what they call specie. I'll even show you here that they work today something else. They work it like a fiat, which is not quite there, which also means our people today aren't quite up to snuff as they were when they used snuff back when, to understand what the differences are. We're not using gold and silver as money. We use it to be money. The specie is what we're after. You'll never really hear these words in the news. I don't even know if it's really paid attention to. But it starts, your awareness is very important. We have the first story here to point out I thought was very important, even more important than the next one, which is super important, the digital integrity here that's being broken down all the time. It's just being slowly eroded. And I hope people see that, because I think we need to stay away from that medium. Not that it's not a good tool, like AI, all in its place, but not covering your life. But here we have new state bills would treat gold and silver as money, eliminate capital gains tax. And I was educated here on these notices about what the real problems was. And you have to understand that tax is where the government imposes a charge on the use of something in order to mitigate another problem. When you hear this capital gains tax that's federal, they're mitigating a problem that gold and silver does in its implementation when you use it against them. So this was an interesting insight when you read through, but the part of the reason why people won't use it is because they get taxed. What I find offensive is, as a miner of gold, with gold bearing deposits, that's really taxing a labor, a production. That's not supposed to happen. That's a trust breach. Two trust breaches. As you've heard me talk for decades on how this is supposed to work out, the organic establishment is supposed to work. Those organic trust obligations are still there. Those are the provisions I deem savings clauses. They're not really my deem. I didn't deem them. That's what they're called. The provisions inside law that protect you if you knew where they are. They may start out something like, unless otherwise provided, comma. And then they throw the servitude on you. They throw the obstruction upon you. They throw the foreign imposition on you. If you don't know what those few words up at the beginning of that clause, a comma makes it a clause, you don't know that your rights are in there, and you're going to have to know them. They're not going to tell them to you. The occupier will never tell you this stuff, and then they'll deny you when you try to assert it. That's a little bit of a different problem. But when you know, that makes the difference. You know, the new state bills will treat gold and silver as money. They should be specie, and there shouldn't be a question. But their problem was the federal government put in capital gains tax. On this title tolls a lot. They're saying that the use of gold, it really is an earmark against that you should consider that it is against the government. Remember, the Fed takes gold as an asset. It can't take it on the other side of the ledger. All these little things I've pointed out in the past make this a very important condition. How this, our society was taken over and allowed to have this thing taken away from us. So now it's only as money today. And it suffered taxation, which is actually a property taxation. And it's on the use of a property that someone's life was spent to go get. And so that the government claims they need to tax because it's causing a trouble for the government. I'll read the story here. I tried to do a little bit of a setup. It's really fascinating stuff in the news that they tell us. It's actually the notice. It actually will educate us if we have a little broader comprehensive understanding of what's going on, or maybe really what's going on here. And I've advocated for this gold and silver to be money. They're saying it's going to work as money. Equal to fiat. And so there we have the hesitations, but better than not. Let's put it that way. If any of these bills are enacted, they would legally eliminate state capital gains taxes. Remember, this is a state capital gains tax on a federal capital gains condition. So they remove some of the burden, the cost of using this. And again, remember that the state can mint gold and silver coin. It can't issue paper. This is another thing about the 10th Amendment that kicks in and states' rights as well, that are reserved to the states. Remember, this is all powerful stuff when you start to apply it. I don't think we do that enough as a people. There are some people that are cognizant of this, and this is the news that it is going on. It's not out there, but it's also, you'll hear how little it is out there that I think we need to start thinking about. Those of you that are interested in this, start learning what's going on. See how long it takes. Prepare rolls up your sleeves to do this long. These evidences will help other states as well to move theirs along. I would say look very carefully at how to eliminate even the defects in these states and make a better example. But if these bills move along, they would eliminate the state capital gains tax on a sale and exchange of gold and silver bullion. Both Missouri and Oklahoma are already among the 42 that do not charge sales tax on purchases of gold and silver bullion. Taxes on gold and silver sales raise the cost associated with precious metals investment, and the added transaction costs are a barrier to using the metals as money. And this is where they mash this together and really caused the trouble that I think people were seeing and didn't want to engage in it because it costs so much to use this as a money. And my thought is it's a trust breach by the government to insist to charge taxes and cause it to be a problem for the government that its taxation money is used to mitigate the problem of using the gold and silver, which is really very little used, but only likely in investment. This is the commerce side of gold exchange, not the production trade, the use of the specie as money, the material from someone's labor to someone's labor, services, or goods. That's production side. I don't know that anybody actually recognizes this. Certainly it seems like no more. And I was able to pick this up through mining law and watch how production is separate. It's the foundational tier of your society. Everything above that, just above that's manufacturing. That's production too. But everything above that, all businesses, all government licensed things, the government itself is primary, secondary and tertiary levels of government. People don't see the government, the society this way. The government sits at the tertiary level, which is the most far distant from production, the production of which supports the whole thing, actually. Well, I was telling you Russia was going to walk into into the power by walking into its production. And Africa will do the same thing. And everybody, all those nations will be now supporting themselves by their production. You're watching that happen. This is the basis of all this. This is being mistreated. I guess I'm spending a lot more time here than I thought. I need to get moving here. But this is all being mistreated a bit. And if you can identify that it's production instead of commerce, there's no commerce investment. There's no investment done in production. It's strictly the production. People's labor is involved. And so that you're directly attacking people's labor in exchange through attacking gold and silver. It had to be mined by a man, even if he uses a machine, even if it was through a company, and didn't just fall out of manna out of heaven. And this is where people don't quite get this part, and I'm not sure society will ever get this part. And it's part of it supports what I say, which means that a lot of people may not understand the basis from which I'm speaking is not just an idea. It's how we've come here. It's how any nation exists. Again, the mining law told me gobs and bunches here. This is amazing stuff to run across this mining law and happen to be in the capacity of one who participates and accepts or rejects that grant of disposable land and the material that comes from nature. Let me move on here. I got to get moving here. So much to speak about, always. Taxes on gold and silver sales raise sales here. See, this is what I'm saying. It's going to be hard for me to get through this. I'm just going to have to read. Sales is not the use of silver and gold as money. It's sales of the stuff. We're not doing that when it's money. If it's as money, maybe, that's the material problem here. But I won't analyze this too much more. I need to read this. You need to hear it. I hope it excites you a bit. There's people working to get this done. Don't understand it better than to see the mistakes I think I'm seeing here. And move this along in your own states. And they call it legal tender. If that's the best that you can do, well, then make it legal tender. Better than not. Taxes on gold and silver sales raise the cost of associated precious metals. Investment and added transaction costs are a barrier to using the metals as money. If the bills succeed in eliminating this tax on an exchange of gold and silver, Missouri and Oklahoma would effectively treat bullion as money instead of as a commodity. There's commerce, commodity, similar statement. The bills are a step toward reestablishing gold and silver as legal tender, as well as the challenge to the Federal Reserve's monopoly on money in the United States. Okay, we all hear Ron Paul coming. The state of Oklahoma already enacted a similar law in 2014, and Utah and Arkansas also treat gold and silver as legal tender. Fortunate for you folks. I hope you're exercising that. Quote, if you're no for less government, you want sound money, said U.S. Representative Ron Paul in support of an Arizona bill to repeal capital gains taxes on gold and silver. Quote, the people who want big government, they don't want sound money. They want to deceive you and commit fraud. Can we rest right there? No, he's going to say some more. It's very important. They want to print the money. They want a monopoly. Boy, truer words are never said. And Ron Paul, thank you very much for bringing this out. Notwithstanding, I have some questions about what you did as a congressman. This was right on, and this is what was going on. You will eliminate the Fed by not dealing in the paper that the Fed uses as a product. You will hurt the Fed by using and paying, if you could, any money to the Fed in silver or gold money, because they have to take it as an asset. They can't play the plunder and fraud game with like they do with the paper. The federal capital gains tax rate of 28% on gold and silver sales is not impacted by state-level legislation. So understand that's still there, but remember, too, you're not using it in sales. You're not selling this thing as a commodity. It's being used as a medium of exchange, money, specie, under the Constitution. This has to be really refined a bit better, but 28% on the sale of gold and silver remains a major barrier to precious metals' ability to compete with the U.S. dollar as a payment instrument. 39 U.S. states still tax capital gains on the sale of gold and silver. We're not selling the gold and silver. We're using it as money in exchange. And so we've got to really be careful here. I encourage all this. I'm taking maybe way too much time here to go through it. Found it today. Happy to see it, but I'm seeing some refinements that need to be done. And that's going to have to be addressed. Again, if the states are also taking a lot of measures to have to keep gold in their so-called treasury. Now it does become a treasury. So there's lots of neat things going on here. And some of it's beyond me a little bit, and I likely won't be able to engage it ever. But some of you can, and I think you can do that. So thank you very much for those that will do that. Bring the future generations into an arm's length distance away from the federal government by properly positioning your money, not as money, not as fiat, not in challenge, but as a totally separate system, completely opposite what the paper system does, the fiat system does. And so here we want to move into the original thought I was going to start with this week. What we thought was the gold standard of internet security is no more, folks. It's very interesting. As I keep talking about vulnerabilities in the digital world toward our digital gulag and panopticon, SSH protects the world's most sensitive networks. It just got a lot weaker. Novel Terrapin attack uses prefix truncation to downgrade the security of SSH channels. As one of the first network tools to route traffic through an impregnable tunnel fortified with a still esoteric feature known as public key encryption, SSH quickly caught on around the world. Named Terrapin, the new hack works only when an attacker has an active adversary in the middle position on the connection between the admins and the network they remotely connect to. Only known as a man-in-the-middle attack, an MITM attack. This occurs when an attacker secretly positions between two parties, intercepts communications, and assumes the identity of both the recipient and the sender. This provides the ability to both intercept and alter the communications. With this position can be difficult for an attacker to achieve, while the condition can be difficult to achieve, it's one of the scenarios from which SSH was thought to have immunity. People who want to know if SSH client and server they are using is vulnerable to Terrapin can use a custom scanner developed by the researchers. It connects to a server or monitors the incoming client connection to determine whether one of those vulnerable encryption modes is available and if the countermeasure requiring a strict key exchange is supported. The scanner doesn't perform a full-fledged handshake to carry out the attack. As noted earlier, assessing the risk severity and patch urgency posed by the Terrapin vulnerability will vary from user to user and organization to organization. So folks, my listener, listen very carefully. You don't know when you'll be vulnerable to this thing or whether or not the admins or the ITs have picked up on it. So moving on, there's a lot more in this story. I couldn't get to it. It's way technical. Didn't want to do that to my listener on this stuff. We got to pay attention to our vulnerabilities. Again, long-standing protection has now been hacked. Anyone who uses this app implementing SSH should check with the... Excuse me, let me reread that. Anyone who uses any app implementing SSH should check with the developer for guidance, including what the app is affected by Terrapin, and if so, the condition under which it is vulnerable to exploitation, whether a fix is available. Also, some fixes are happening now, but this is a pretty wide problem. Again, the vulnerabilities in the digital world, a digital gulag using digital gold, but it's not gold, folks. That's another thing, is sitting right here for us. The long-standing thing, the protections we thought we had are not there, and they're going to get worse as, again, AI starts picking up on these patternings. Well, you got AI hacking AI. What else? What's limiting there here? But another thing that trying to make false security, as we may see here in Las Vegas, eyes to the sky, U.S. choppers to descend. Is it chickens and choppers? Maybe not. Maybe so. We'll have to look and see. U.S. choppers to descend on Las Vegas to monitor nuclear threat. The flights are designed to monitor radiation in the city before in the upcoming New Year's Eve festivals. A so-called dirty bomb containing nuclear material would result in a higher than normal radiation levels, the nuclear emergency support teams has stated. The flights will take place Friday, December 29th, in order to detect the normal background radiation in the city, and then again on New Year's Eve to ensure readings are in line with expected levels. The nuclear emergency support team was established in 1975. As major U.S. cities face threats of nuclear terrorism, most of the threats investigated by the NEST, how quaint, Nest. Isn't that Google's little product device, too, Nest? Keep in track. Anyway, are found to be non-credible, but the federal government was spurred into action by the theft of nuclear material from U.S. labs. We don't hear the self-inflicted wound there, but moving on, the little-known government program operates in the context of major events in American cities, such as the Super Bowl. the Duper Bowl is not until February, correct? This year? Maybe any year, right? Isn't this such a convenient false flag opportunity? Get your popcorn, folks. How they pull this together. Law enforcement can obtain prescription records from pharmacy giants without a warrant. I suppose this is for your security, too. And this is supposed to be what you thought was your health care. I've told you about Health One. I've told you about all your records of the governments. I've told you about the system as the governments. You know, we think there's a privacy. This has been going on for years and years, but now we get the news that the government can have any access it wants, and it wants all the access. But don't look in on it, for sure, like FISA. Don't end that, no. Law enforcement can obtain your prescription records. The pharmacy chains recently confirmed that law enforcement can just subpoena sensitive patient information. America's eight largest pharmacy providers shared customers' prescription records to law enforcement when faced with subpoena requests. The Washington Post reported on Tuesday, the news arrived amid patients' growing privacy concerns in the wake of the Supreme Court's 2022 overturn of Roe v. Wade. Interesting, isn't it? When a court case does all this. Pharmacies can hand over detailed and potentially compromising information to the legal fine print. Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, that's what everyone calls HIPAA, H-I-P-A-A, regulations restrict patient data sharing between covered entities like doctor's offices, hospitals, and other medical facilities. But these guidelines are looser for pharmacies, and while search warrants require judges' approval to serve, subpoenas do not. Given each company's national network, patient records are often shared interstate between any pharmacy location. University of Connecticut Associate Law Professor Carl Dubrinsky argued the cutting-edge legislation protections for medical records falls short. And I've talked about this. I've reported on this HIPPA, and I've told you this limitation. It's only for covered entities. That doesn't include the government. Interestingly, to permit people to receive care under the illusion that their records cannot come back to harm them would be a grave injustice, she wrote at the time. So, can we fully derive from this? You are a slave to the whims of government if you thought this place was protected. Being a free and private is a presumption rather than the open-air prison it is. This article mentions liberal concerns. If you go read through it, that's where they were leading to the Roe v. Wade was the right to an abortion. But so you look through that, though, because this will affect everybody. They just don't go looking for liberal concerns. But this vulnerability isn't limited to that. So what's already here for you in your token citizen wallet, folks, says they've moved this thing right along as we start to learn. The government has always already been intruding, and the corporations will not stop. And they say they can get grabbed by a subpoena. I'm not saying there's a protection. I do, though, as I have done. I have fought the attorney general, I think it was, of Arizona, helping somebody. I didn't do it. I helped somebody fight a subpoena. Administrative is what the point is. And we were able to successfully stop the subpoena demand, quash it, they call it. And that was years and years and years ago, before I even got along and started to understand a lot of stuff. But there is a limitation to authority, and you've got to find out where it's at. Otherwise, these people don't stop. While the Gestapo is rooting around with the prescriptions for lawful use, likely generated by error-prone AI death care to come, we can read this next story. Humana, using AI tool with 90% error rate to deny care and lawsuits claim the AI model and H Predict is the focus of another lawsuit against United Health Humana, your human animals, folks. One of the nation's largest health insurance providers is allegedly using an artificial intelligence model with a 90% error rate to override doctors, can I say this again, death care, it seems, override doctors, not as a tool, not as a second opinion, but override doctors' medical judgment, and wrongfully deny care to elderly people on the company's Medicare Advantages plans. But remember, that's Obamacare. That was what all that stuff was about, make it simple for these mutual defense insurance funds to be able to protect themselves and limit the care. That's what all that was on. Trump scare picked it up and didn't stop any of it. According to the lawsuit filed Tuesday, Humana's use of the AI model constitutes a, quote, fraudulent scheme that leaves elderly beneficiaries with either overwhelming medical debt or without needed care that is covered by their plans. Meanwhile, the insurance behemoth reaps a financial windfall. That's what Trump's scare and Obama's scare was all about. Why are we surprised? Hypochondria studies reveals higher death rates among the fearful of serious illness. A couple of this, what we just heard. You can't get the care you need. That makes you pretty fearful. But hypochondria, they call it, your study reveals higher death rates among those fearful of serious illness. In a groundbreaking Swedish study published by JAMA Psychiatry, researchers have uncovered a paradox that challenges conventional understanding. I would love these conventional understanding challenges like climate change. Oh, there's a sun. What's that? The study delves Nino. El Nino, what are you talking about? Yeah, that kind of paradox. Here we go. People. Hypochondria. This is also you buying into certain things, and just let's attach it to Kobe Swindle before I get there too quick. But what happens to us if we put a lot of energy and emotion into something that we can, our fear can come on us. This is all this report seems to be saying, but it's legitimate beyond our subjective belief. They found the study delves into the complexities surrounding hypochondria, now termed illness anxiety disorder, revealing a startling revelation. Individuals diagnosed with an excessive fear of serious illness tend to experience a higher mortality rate compared to those who do not harbor hypervigilant health concerns. This elevated risk is extended to both natural and unnatural causes of death, with a particularly pronounced fourfold increase in suicides. That must be a complex dynamic just on its own, but this is pretty interesting. Even unnatural causes is increased. That's pretty fascinating. Talk about put your mind towards something. Dr. Jonathan E. Alpert of Montefiore Medical Center in New York stresses the importance of acknowledging and treating those suffering, advocating for cognitive behavioral therapy, relaxation techniques, and education. And as it strikes me to say, maybe you get over to Suspect's Guide website, and Aaron Long has made lots of writings, some of which touches this subject matter, as it just occurs to me to say so. But here, they call it hypochondria. That has a negative connotation. This is simply your fear of being ill, seriously ill. You can actually bring it on you. Most astonishing thing is that you can actually bring on unnatural things upon you. So think positive, folks. It's serious stuff here. Dog owners are 40% less likely to develop dementia. So isn't that interesting? Your fear of serious illness can kill you, but if you have a dog, you're 40% likely to less likely to develop dementia. A team was able to break down the risk of developing the disease into odds ratios. The risk for dog owners was calculated at 0.6, whereas cat owners were at 0.98 risk, and 1 for people who did not have any dog or cats. Dog ownership had a suppressive effect on incidence disabling dementia after adjusting for background factors during an approximately 4-year follow-up period, the study's authors write. Specifically, dog owners with an exercise habit and no social isolation had a significantly lower risk of disabling dementia. I pause to let you think. Very cool stuff. Look at what they did at Kobe Swindle. Social isolation, and your dogs are going to give it to you. Your cats are going to give it to you. They're going to go after your 0.02% people, too. Your activity level. So my thought is you don't have to have a dog or a cat or none at all. Just get out and do some things. Start being active in your life, I guess, is part of this here. Apparently, it has something to do with your body keeping you. You keep active, you're not going to be thinking about nothing, right? I guess that may be doing there, too. Twiddling your thumbs. So, interesting, Humana has error rates using AI, and yet our body has the ability to make ourselves sick or keep us from getting sick quicker. Fascinating stuff. Artificial intelligence can find your location in photos, worrying privacy experts. So, you dog owners here, be careful when you're walking your dog and taking pictures. Now, I'm just pulling this stuff together to show you there's a somewhat of a continuum. We can look at the system of plunder and profit taking, or we can look and at ourselves and say, we have a lot more to say about this, and we have a lot more to keep from the world that wants to help plunder us. The artificial intelligence can find your location where it's 90% ineffective to treat and overwhelm the doctor's decision. The artificial intelligence can find your location in photos, and they can do this without even knowing much more than what's in the small background. It's fascinating stuff. It's the power that AI can do that I've been talking to you about. A student project has revealed yet another power of artificial intelligence. It can be extremely good at geolocating where photos are taken. The project, known as the Predicting Image Geolocations, or PIGEON for short, was designed by three Stanford graduate students in order to identify locations on Google Street View. When presented with a few personal photos it had never seen before, the program was, in the majority of cases, able to make accurate guesses about where the photos were taken. Stanley worries that the companies might soon use AI to track where you've traveled and that governments might check your photos to see where you visited in the country on a watch list. Stalking and abuse are also obvious threats, he says. In the past, Stanley says, people have been able to remove GPS location tagging in photos they post online. That may not work anymore. Well, it'll work to take that EXIF data away, get those programs, get rid of that data, but now the artificial intelligence, the pattern recognition power is such that they can just look at the picture now. Interesting. So, as I was thinking this through, where in the cosmos here are you folks, anywhere, that AI can identify? And that got me to thinking about Grimner. You have one, Grimner, have one of those that have you standing in front of the restaurant at the end of the universe. And if so, can you send it? Can we give it to the AI to identify where you is at? I think that'd be kind of cool. Again, pattern recognition. We see another thing where the doctors can be overrun by an AI and an insurance company is willing to go with it to hurt y'all. The AI is also as good as doctors in checking x-rays in a study. Here again, pattern recognition of image. Very cool tool that way. So cool, you can just look at a spot somewhere and figure out where you're at. They don't need to tell it. So here we have the software that they used to do this was trained by using chest x-rays for more than 1.5 million patients, who were scanned for 37 possible conditions. It was just as accurate or more accurate than doctor's analysis at the time the image was taken for 35 out of 37 conditions, the University of Warwick said. The AI could reduce doctors' workload and delays in diagnosis and offer radiologists the ultimate second opinion, researchers said. Fascinating stuff. Again, if it's used as a tool and used with someone to oversee it, it's very, very cool to be working with. If you use it as a decider, it's disaster. The software understood some abnormalities for which it scanned were more serious than others and could flag the most urgent to the medics, the university said. AI such as this would be the future of medicine and act as a co-pilot for busy doctors. Again, not on its own, not stand alone. Co-pilot. I've been saying this for a long time. May have the information from AI, but it's error-prone. It has to be filtered. Even labs, like we did the research and did the study of the report, labs that took the chemicals that were made and identified to be new materials by AI still had to go through. They found that there were still problems, and a man or woman had to look to make sure the lab was doing it right, because this AI, garbage in, garbage out, it's information in, body of language, library in, and that's the limit. Again, it took Google View all of the image that put into a library that a computer could scan part by part to start to see correlations between all these. Almost impossible for people. And so this is why this computer tool is very, very good, but it's as a co-pilot, if I can even reference it to like that, as a co-pilot. It's just a second reference, like a diagnostic tool that someone should look at and confirm, essentially, the accuracy of. The software was available open source for non-commercial use to increase the pace of research development, the university said. So here it is, very cool stuff here. for as much as I'm not too keen on it, in its any tool, in its properly used, it can't be, in a way, it can't be denied. But pattern recognition is here, on this example, at its best. So that's all I can say. But again, it's a backup. I was thinking through this, and I know MRIs, they can do a 3D layering. Now, added to this, I thought presented with a 3D image, this program, it could maybe calculate a surgery plan as well, if you had to do some operations. If it was a robot. But the point is that it could go pretty quickly to get at something in a 3D form. So pretty cool stuff there. So I just find it interesting that you can see some really good, powerful things to do with AI, and yet industry looking for profit, it uses the 90% error prone in order to make that windfall, they said the financial windfall, is why we have to be so diligent against the if you will, corporations, people who want to make profit at your expense, and you don't understand that because you think it's the bee's knees, or you think AI is the whole thing. It's not. It's just a tool. They better use it right. How many tools are not used right as well? But here, as we have walking the world and doing taking pictures, and I wondered here also, looking at the 3D images and stuff, I also went on and wondered whether or not if you presented the AI program with images of the cosmos instead of a chest x-ray, I wonder what it would find, what its determination would be. So moving back here from the cosmos back to terrestrial travel, using AI is going about as good as Humana, you know, for human care to animal transport here. And on the heels of the Tesla whistleblower revelation I spoke about last week, again, I don't know that I'm putting judgment. I'm just kind of pointing out we can be all high and mighty and thinking that these tools are perfect, but they are not, and our lives are, well, with Humana for sure, our lives are at risk. As we see now, again, the hoopla over green, over electric, over AI, all the investment. And I have to say, GM did a lot of work in electric cars a long time ago. They were the point of the spear relative to development. They had developed a lot of good technology to get to the motors and the electronic packages to make electric cars more viable. Again, it's just a lot of work in design here, a lot of material science. But here we have GM trying to get into a finished product along the lines that they put billions into investing. GM's Cruise, terrestrial transportation here for the animals. GM's Cruise robo-taxi unit dismisses 9 key leaders amid a safety investigation. General Motors Cruise autonomous vehicle unit has dismissed 9 key leaders amid an ongoing safety investigation sparked by last October's accident in San Francisco. Cruise's troubles are the latest in the self-driving vehicle industry. Commercializing autonomous vehicles has been far more challenging than many predicted even a few years ago. I just sit here and think about it. Wow, you know, where did reality go? We've known, I've known, anybody I know has known, this stuff doesn't come just at the flick of a switch, and yet they're trying to promote it like it is. And this is partly part of this green religion. It can be happening overnight, but it can't. There's reality here, folks. When you get down to running cars around that are so-called autonomous, they can cause safety issues, and they can cause and kill people, which they are. The company also faces regulatory pressure and fines for potentially misleading or withholding information about the accident. Remember, I'm on the heels here. I didn't get to talk about this last week. Of the Tesla whistleblower speaking the same thing. I think it's cool technology, but it's not hands-off at all. Well, Tesla claims you're supposed to have your hands on even when it's running. But notwithstanding that, there's misleading and withholding information about accidents. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and California Public Utilities Commission are probing Cruise and the incident. This is also a setback for an industry dependent on public trust and the cooperation of regulators. That sentence, I want you to understand it, how to interpret it. We people think public trust is us. They're needing to keep our trust. But I found in my studies that public doesn't mean us at all. It's important, though, you see that the companies keep the public trust. They then define that, who the public trustee is, and it's not you. It's getting the cooperation of regulators. So remember here, public means government, not you. When you hear the government speaking, it's the government. Public means government. You get this in a definition called public writing. It's an agency writing. Public means government. So notice that the companies are only interested in keeping the public trust, not yours, for the cooperation of that regulator while they sell the consumer a bill of goods, as it seems to turn out here. Again, I think the technology is cool, but there's always this profit motive, this plunder that goes on, and partly why you have consumerism and the protection of the government to do so. On the heels of that problem, we see now the response in business to business, that GM is kind of oversold its capacity, and now General Motors Cruise on Thursday announced internally that it will lay off 900 employees, or 24% of its workforce, the company confirmed. And this would be the GM General Motors Cruise workforce, not the whole company. But a barrage of safety concerns and incidents have plagued Cruise, majority owned by GM, since it received approval in August for round-the-clock robo-taxi service in San Francisco. So they got the trust of the public regulator, the government regulator, and it was all misrepresentation. So they're not infallible either. There we have more AI in the bureau rat. The moves are fallout from the company's response to the October 2nd incident in which a pedestrian was dragged 20 feet by a Cruise self-driving car after being hit by another vehicle. Since the incident, the company has suspended all trips on the public roads and halted production of a new robo-taxi, among other moves. And so, precarious business out there as well. I have to give them a little bit to try it, but to oversell it like they have. You see, it's just going to take a hit, no different than they embraced electric green, and they're now finding out that they can't sell their wares. They're finding out that the depreciation is too high. They're finding out the planned obsolescence of 10 years for the whole car now is exacerbated by a battery replacement pack that's probably worth almost what the cost of the car is at some point in the future with the inflation. So there's realities coming to bear, even economic realities to business. This is regulatory problems. They're overselling their capacity. Apparently Tesla's doing the same thing. I understand the promotion, but it means people get hurt or die. And this is the ultimate problem. Same thing with Kobe's one. They oversold, no one to check it. There was all the checks in the world to do so. Not even regulators. The law was sitting in place, and no one exercised that law, not regulation and rule. So I look at this and say, well, this is just the society we live in now. We are failed people within the society. Kobe Swindle said we wouldn't even go to the law, let alone look at these rules that have been utilized by these companies, gaining the public trust of the regulator to allow them to go about it. Now someone's dead and more. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on around this. We don't hear part of it. You hear they don't report very well the problems with this. Apparently, Cruise isn't ready for the planned mass migration of people into the town very near you, as what this is all about is to get you into these, you know, stack them and pack them, and then they would drive you around. This is what this is all about. Remember, and 5G, not the stuff they fraudulently promote to you today. I'm talking about the millimeter wave stuff coming. That was all about those cars. And more. Remember all this. It's all showing that was premature. All this investment's all premature, but they're going to go there anyway. This is the other problem. As we read, mass migration blueprints reveals NGOs carefully planned U.S. migrant invasion. The news website Muckraker revealed a treasure trove of mass migration blueprints handed out by the NGOs across South and Central America to illegals with details about their route to the United States. The collapse of the United States southern border is a result of the carefully planned and deliberate executed industrial mass migration program, Muckraker said. Map 1 is distributed by the United Nations International Organization of Migration shows various commissions and consulates across the country of Mexico. Map 4, you go get this article, you read it, you'll see these maps. I'm only jumping through some of this as I thought they were most important to read through to get our awareness and see what's happening here. It's a serious problem. And some of this stuff I don't get to a lot. Not much into the politics side, but we're going to talk a little bit about these political things. But I've always told you that a cell, a border, a cell wall is important for every organism. The border is the same thing. It's not that you don't let something in, but you don't want to let something in that's bad and infect or destroy the cell, the health of the cell. That's really what immigration is supposed to do. The laws are there to do that, but it's, again, we've completely blown all this out, and apparently there's no accountability, so who cares, right? But map 4 on this is distributed by the Red Cross. When we start, you know, growing up, we think these people, these organizations are great, great stuff, like USAID. No, these end up being parts and front groups for destruction of nations. Yeah, they do their little bit to make it look like a good thing, but they can be subverted. And that's why I told you about finding about the child services, the foster parents. They show you the bright and shiny family up front, but behind all that, ones you don't see, they're not such bright and shiny families. They're actually being used for what you hear in the news today, the Epstein problem. That's what I identified back in 2005, and apparently I'm very lucky to be here today because anybody goes into that doesn't last too long. And what I saw years later, a retired FBI agent follow almost identical the path I followed, and he was dead. I realized that I really may have escaped just a blessing because everyone, I don't know of anybody who's ever tracked that down that are still alive at this point. And so we find out what looks good up front, what looks warm and fuzzy, what looks like it's supposed to be helping is actually the front to some other operation, essentially. Here we have Red Cross shows they have their maps that show the freight train routes across Mexico and lists numerous hostels that can be found along the train routes and also shows the distances between Mexican cities, again, as guides. The reading here, what's becoming increasingly evident is that the network of NGOs funded partly by the United States taxpayer, but by other countries and corporations are covertly facilitating the invasion of illegals at the U.S. southern border, as well as distributing them across the U.S. into progressive metro areas. According to an August report by progressive left-leaning media watchdog organization Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, President Biden's Department of Homeland Security allocated $363, interesting number for some of you listeners, million, to NGOs to assist illegal aliens once in the U.S., such that it appears that illegals are supported by the illegal activity by TSA, DHS, Department of Homeland Security, no less here, folks, the airlines, the White House, and a host of NGOs. Texas Governor Greg Abbott released a press release 1 year ago detailing that NGOs may be engaged in unlawfully orchestrating other border crossings. One ex-user asked, quote, where does defunding the NGOs getting billions of dollars, taxpayer dollars, to traffic the illegal immigrants here fall on the GOP's to-do list? But remember, it's the Uniparty, so good question, but maybe not so far. And I want to observe here that here for myself, I saw the border problem, I saw the nonsense, I saw the Trump and all this, just watching it. It's like too complex to do for this broadcast anyway. So I've just mentioned quickly, we need borders. We need to protect ourselves from foreign things coming in. Once we can perfect that the foreign things qualify, they're okay, we can let them in. That's fine. I don't have a problem with any of that. But it's an orderly entry. That's what's in the law. That's not what's being allowed. And so until I saw this DHS being involved, that was my first question regarding the NGO dollars. Because that then speaks to me of leveraged funding. Remember, the leveraged funding to put in that they use to overthrow your locales. I've been talking about this for years. They use property taxes to overthrow the property owners, overthrow the government by the funding that they get. It's like a big sponge, a big money sponge for them to come and do their foreign bidding under the color of doing something useful. But this leverage funding coming through the DHS would be to help to overthrow the United States of America. And then that's where I started to tie in with the Department of Homeland Security and the TSA. Remember to grope them and feel them and all that stuff for you, not for these folks. And the White House now is involved, and you start seeing the package of what's going on and who's involved at the highest levels of this country, not allowing border protection at all. And these, being that they're directly involved, this isn't just a little Title 8 Immigration Department condition. In fact, you don't even see in the list that the Immigration Department's involved. So this is a worse situation than I had thought. when I didn't look any closer. This story brings it forward. We need to have it in our awareness. And I just start to ask more of our view as people in this country. We get treated like we do. We have all the complaints about not getting the benefits that the illegals get. And we kind of wonder why, but if it's all part of the plan, we need to start asking, I guess, at least to ask, how does any of these illegal immigration invasions promote security of our country? And how is it then that this is a not actionable treason, if you look at it this way, from the people that are supposed to protect us? And on the money appropriations and to-do lists, those pale in comparison. How is the continuity of government governance involved here? Why is it even involved to do this? It brought up this whole other thing here for me, looking at DHS being involved. Continuity of operations are carried out by DHS on down, fulfilling its ostensible purpose that all of it shouldn't be eradicated post-haste. And my question, why isn't all of this eradicated when we find it's a continuity government? It's not your government. This was started a long while back. I've been talking about this periodically. And so when I saw these players come together all at once, it took on a different importance for me, just to, again, make it important to talk about it a little bit here. Also, a further interest to me, the chaos here about Trump. He wanted to make the border sealed up again, and he wants to throw people out. That they're illegal. They're illegal, folks. If you want to talk about legalities and non-legality, they're illegal. They're not supposed to be here like this. And he wanted to throw them out of border integrity. And I find the chaos interesting as well. You know, we talk about deep state, and I look at continuity government, and I see the chaos created around Trump potentially being elected. And I read again here the point about no Trump, no Biden, no election. While we're thrown out in continuity government, and I'll have a link for you can read the United States government continuity of operations and read about it. I've talked about it before. I'm just going to throw that link in. But we have now the idea, no Trump, no Biden, no election, as we watch what's going on in the states now about taking Trump from the ballot. After the Colorado Supreme Court ruled the former U.S. President Donald Trump, the heavy favorite to win the Republican nomination, should be removed from the ballot under the 14th Amendment, Republicans in red states started threatening to reciprocate by removing current U.S. President Joe Biden from the ballot. So very interesting dynamic, and relative to when you realize the continuity of government is to work when there is no government, and what's going on right now. The 14th Amendment, ratified after the Civil War, disbars anyone who has taken an oath of office and then engaged in, quote, insurrection or rebellion against the U.S., or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof, from holding office. The officials and generals who worked for the Confederate States were given amnesty 4 years after its ratification. At this rate, the 2024 election could prove to be a world's first without any major candidates on the ballot. Very interesting how this is working through. And I looked at this and said, oh, this is kind of neat. This is kind of interesting. I may actually be seeing in all this what I've been advocating for years, since seeing official voting machines corruption back in the 90s, as I talked about. Voting NOTA. Voting none of the above. And I just got excited. For those of you that do, make it happen, folks. Maybe write in the guy behind the woodshed. If nothing else, the broadcast could use the publicity, don't you think? We've got a handful of listeners. Thank you very much for yourselves. I hope you get a lot of value from this, and just tell people. I know no one wants to listen beyond you, but tell them anyway. I found this fact, none of the above, because there's not going to be anybody to vote on. That may not quite do it, but fine. Let's start looking, because it's a wave now. It set the precedent. I talked a little bit about the fact that there was no conviction, and you're going to find that absent in all these stories as well. As we also see, Maine disqualifies Trump from Republican primary ballot after January 6th riot. Quote, the challengers here, have provided sufficient evidence to demonstrate the falsity of Mr. Trump's declaration that he needs the qualification of the office for a presidency, Bellows wrote, their Secretary of State, I believe this was, Bellows wrote in a document on Thursday. Therefore, as required by law, I'm going to start by the law and the foundation, I find the primary petition of Mr. Trump is invalid. So this official is acting as a judge, a jury, and an executioner. Should trouble every one of my listeners here when you hear this. And the bar has agreed with the lawless executive branch just as it did and happened in the great Kobe swindle to get us here. They're doing the very same thing on this. Fascinating. Judge, jury, and executioner in one official. Remember the thing under the 14th Amendment, and understand and notice the Civil War is coming irrelevant. This is something I keep talking about. The executive can only do executive things based on the law that legislature makes. When there's a question of a crime or a civil action, that goes to the judiciary. Insurrection underneath the 14th Amendment in that section says it's insurrection as a crime. That requires a criminal procedure. We see this officer in Maine being the judge, jury, and executioner. I'm telling you, that you got. I hope you got a little bit of chill when you're watching these executives take so much power. And no one questions it. And I find it highly interesting, coincidental to the genocide that's being allowed in the world by the Zionist Federation upon the Palestinians. And I've told you that people in America, likely everywhere, are in wherever you live in the rule of law brand of injustice and democracy, not your republic, that they you were are probably in the open air prison that you didn't understand or didn't see. But I want to point us out, they're mentioning the Civil War a lot, and the 14th Amendment pops up, this little provision, but remember there's another law I keep talking, I've been talking about forever and ever. It's so important to understand this. The issue of, as everyone here is punished, suffers punishment and penalty, your equal right here to 42 U.S.C. 1981, upon the mere suspicion of a crime without conviction, places every candidate at risk, which might be a good thing in this case. I don't want to get past it. You're presumed to be subject to this. You're presumed not to have any other rights than to be suffering exactions underneath your civil rights. Go read it, 42 U.S.C. 1981. So fascinating this is coming up again and kind of coming to the surface. There's more stories about how this. How is this? How would it be that I would think that this would be a good thing? Maybe it's better than voting none of the above, NOTA. A ballot where... As we look, a ballot where no one can run for office upon a mere suspicion of crime, and no presumption of innocence here, because since the Patriot Act, P-A-T-R-I-O-T Act, 9/11, everyone is presumed a misdemeanor. While it's known that they say and promote that everyone commits at least 3 federal felonies a day, and on the same ballot, we would have to abolish government for want of a crime-free officials, the mere appearance of impropriety sufficient here that we don't have a ballot to even have to vote on. There's no government either. I think this is a great opportunity, as I think this might be a good thing if we kind of push this momentum. Let's keep going. Let's go ahead. Because here we have the little story that backs this up, and I think this is a part of the plan too. It's an apparent furtherance of that chaos we talked about against Trump. Remember, judges are to be consistent in doing justice is another test for the judiciary. You'd think all these judges would have consistent decisions, at least where the law is pretty clear. In my view, it's pretty clear you have to have a criminal conviction, not just the mere appearance, a surmise of some official, executive official saying that someone has misrepresented that they didn't commit insurrection. No, there has to be a criminal conviction on it. You'd think that'd be pretty straightforward, but no. Here we have the Michigan Supreme Court coming a little bit different, and I think when you see the inconsistencies, maybe there's an ulterior political motive here, inconsistent with federal, on a federal matter, understand. We're talking states dealing with a federal matter. Remember, the states are subject to the 14th Amendment by the 14th Amendment, and so you got the subversion right there of the federal over. This is really a federal matter. However, the states are coming in, and now Michigan comes up and says and rules upon the attempt to remove the U.S. President Donald Trump from the 2020 ballot in an insurrectionist ban case on Wednesday. The application for leave to apply appeal to December 14th, the 2023 judgment of the Court of Appeals considered, and it is denied because we are not persuaded that the questions presented should be reviewed by this court. Last week, the Colorado Supreme Court disqualified Trump on the ballot based on the same argument. So now we have 2 states saying he should be. One says no. That's the districts being different. That's Supreme Court. So Colorado orders Trump's conditional removal from the ballot while without a conviction of insurrection, while Michigan decides the questions posed could not be reviewed So it's very interesting because it is a federal matter here on that level and whether or not the states have complied also. And so what were the questions that was proposed in this case? I'm not sure. I would think that maybe the wrong questions were posed to Michigan in order to get the right answer. What's the right answer? Something in opposition to what Colorado would do, and now Maine. So now we have, two districts in the government. The United States Supreme Court can take the case. So in this case, a decision, I think, is a calculation to get the state cases to the Supreme Court more quickly, is what I'm thinking maybe here. I'm not really politically too wired. I'm just watching this shenanigans. Here we go. My interest in that is to watch this political shenanigans that's going on. It's like these they're clowns performing as they keep the occupied people entertained and oblivious to the fact that the circus tent is caught on fire. I'm asking you, folks, don't be in the circus tent. Don't be in the circus tent. The next thing we'll be hearing here is that we will need an ID to vote, to advance and embrace the advanced man, to token citizenship with real ID, and to vote at all or to write in Trump's name. This is what's coming, I think. We are going to maybe hear that, and I say, oh, wait, yeah, we have, and my ex, I remember now, will be hearing all this to come. Sure we are. Oh, sure it is. It's already in the ex that they are now want to see everybody get the voter registration, get an ID to vote, because they want to support Trump. I found this programmed mind control pretty fascinating, and I wrote that this condition is just an implementation of direct democracy. This is the town square called X is the direct democracy forum. I've talked about all this stuff. They want your ID. They want to support you to get after Trump to vote him, but they want you to get an ID that is real ID. That is the national connection. That is and will have biometrics. That will be immigration. Why do your passports come out of Title VIII? I don't know. But there it is. You want to call yourself a national? It kind of doesn't matter. You start tying into all this. So the town square, the direct democracy is what they're trying to get out of this. And they get you into wanting to have an ID. Everyone, all the conservatives want to make sure we have an ID to go vote. Well, why don't you go look about voting? Why don't you go look at the crime and the fraud that is first before you start embracing things to go support your man? But anyway, all this is kind of like that, folks. It's that much of a tent fire. started in the societal dumpster out back. As we keep moving, this stuff is everywhere. And I want to just highlight, before I move on, this societal dumpster fire, the discussion about Civil War, the discussion, the 14th Amendment pops up. That is the Civil War statute. That is what caused the states to be part of the subverted into underneath the federal. And lots of other things. It is 42 U.S.C. 1981. That's a municipal law for the District of Columbia. And we have this story coming out, again, to highlight the very point. And it's very interesting about this. Biden slams Nikki Haley after Civil War slavery dodge. The Republican president candidate has walked back her comments amid a barrage of criticism. Okay, so this is a very interesting story. Because if you look at what she said, and you think about what she said, and then you listen to Biden slamming her for that, you're going to find out that she was actually correct in her initial assertion in this report. And this is where I find the mind control, the societal mind control, pretty fascinating. The civil rights era, civil war rights servitude is a slavery of its own. It's a servitude of at the 42 U.S.C. 1981. This connection and this story, this now they're making a big deal about this. Does this story interest my listener that the Civil War is suddenly back in the news at all? So Biden slams Nikki Haley after Civil War slavery dodge. U.S. President Joe Biden has hit out at Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley after she avoided citing slavery as a central cause of the U.S. Civil War at a New Hampshire town hall meeting this week. Responding to a question from an audience member on Wednesday, Haley, the former U.S. ambassador to the UN, said that the Civil War was fought over how the government was going to run the freedoms and what the people could and couldn't do. Haley turned the question back to the voter, who said that, quote, "It's astonishing to me that you answer that question without mentioning slavery." Haley's response also drew a fiery rebuke from both sides of the U.S. political spectrum. Biden referenced her comment in the post on X on Thursday, writing simply, "It was about slavery." That I want you to understand, but you've got to do some research on it. The Civil War was not about slavery. Understand what I'm saying here, folks. I may think Haley needs to sit in the back of the bus, or the little yellow bus that Graham Z drives, but it's said that even a broken clock is accurate twice a day. Lawyer Lincoln's Civil War was not about ending slavery. Ending slavery was convenient afterthought here, if you look at the documentation, which actually didn't end, and it is proven that slavery didn't end in subsequent federalized municipal legislation I've been speaking about all this time, and now today again, 42 U.S.C. 1981, extending the existing servitude of white citizens, which is clearly states that, and we'll hear what it says, as it quoted right out of the passage, "as is enjoyed by white citizens and shall be subject to like punishment, pains, penalties, taxes, licenses, and exactions of every kind, and to no other." This was equally applied through this act to the freedman. Understand who we're talking about there? And in this post-founding father era, all are now slave subjects to this more perfect union extortion of every kind and to no other right. Go read for this, folks. It's printed in black and white. This is what's called equal rights. It's applied across the board. You don't care about what your color. Color is irrelevant. That's a prejudice anyway. They're colorblind to applying this slavery, this new slavery, in this perfect, more perfect union. This is post-founding father era stuff. This is what we suffer today. Haley is largely right, but not intelligent enough to explain herself, and a coward to the political process that she has no integrity in. It's proven over and over. All these people are the same. We can read, amid the growing backlash, Haley sought to clarify her comments in a Thursday radio interview. Quote, "I mean, of course, Civil War was about slavery," she told Good Morning New Hampshire with Jack Heath. "That's the easy part," Haley added. "What I was saying was, what does it mean to us today? What it means to us today is about freedom." Now, certainly, this is just, she's challenged. She's not intelligent to argue this, right? This is just political, she's just a politically pandering whore here that is now wrong. She was right in the first time. She's wrong now. And then the politically pandering whore in DeSantis in this article, he's exposed for this in his solicitous ignorance on the subject when he says, and he told reporters in Iowa on Thursday that his GOP rival appeared to have, quote, "some problems with basic American history." He claimed that her response was an incomprehensible word salad and showed that the former South Carolina governor is, quote, "not a candidate that's ready for prime time." Well, folks, obviously this is no. This is none of the above, folks. None of the above. The Civil War was not about freeing black people from slavery. That's a fact. If the Civil War was about slavery, it's about the indenturement, enslavement of everyone. Go read 42 U.S.C. 1981, folks. It says it right there. Haley was originally largely correct, notwithstanding her place at the back of the bus, with the rest of the candidates here. So let's get this all squared up. I find this fascinating. The Civil War comes up. The slavery comes up. Title 42 pops right up with this. They use it as a war between themselves, like they're trying to argue something. They're all completely wrong about how this comes down, and they're exalting Lincoln, this new perfect union that was actually created the post-founding father era that we're suffering under. So let's get maybe back to that dumpster fire. We see evidence of it. Here, the deep state, as we may identify it today, so-called here, is the arsonist. And we see the reflection of recent instructive foreign societal dumpster fire, and worse can be seen in the international mirror if we look now, all coming here together. It's just fascinating for me. I don't, maybe people don't see it, but they don't, maybe there's nothing to see. I think I see lots. I think people can see lots. I think this tells us the history that we're reliving. Not the same, but given the same, the dynamic, the players, the powers, the overthrows, all this stuff, we're just watching it. And we can read and see in the Serbia riots, we see the title, Hypocritical Western Rules-Based Order in Action, and the U.S. decides which rules are in effect, the ones from January 6th or the ones from October 5th. Interesting story, tying in J6 with October 5th over there. The main trouble with the rules-based order promoted by the West is that the rules in question keep changing. Take, for example, Sunday evening's riot in Belgrade, which saw sympathizers of the pro-Western democratic civic opposition try to break into City Hall and declare themselves winners of a recent municipal election. Boy, does that sound like the Maidan in 2014 going on here. At least 2,000 protesters gathered outside the building known as the Old Palace, smashed its glass doors and attempted to force their way inside. Riot police held the line, used tear gas to push them back, and then batons to disperse the mob. Well, the difference between J6 and October 5th was the cops invited everybody in. Maybe even subversive cops themselves were invited in. But going on here with this story, the reflection, the carnival mirror, we're seeing the reflection of these Western influence and how they might treat us and what they do out there. I keep saying they're doing it inside. We just got to identify where it's at. Sometimes not really hard either. Obviously, the protesters didn't get the memo from our democracy, meaning the U.S., dated January 6, 2021, and spelling out that any questioning electoral results makes one criminally liable denier while smashing the doors of the government building amounts to a deadly insurrection, allowing the police to indiscriminately use deadly force. Again, this is a presumption for why these officials and states are claiming that, oh, Trump done it without crime. You should be terrified of these types of things, folks. And I don't mean terrified into helplessness. I mean just the fact of the horror that you're watching that is actually playing out. I would have never believed it, but there it is. Not anyone steps up in any substantive way. Not even none of us, actually. And we see that reflected right in Gaza. But on this story, it's Serbia. However, these protesters were working off the different American precedent. The color revolution, the first brought their ideology to power in Serbia on October 5th, 2000. Back then, a motley pro-democracy coalition cobbled together by the U.S. Embassy, trained by the National Endowment of Democracy, NED, and funded by suitcases of cash smuggled across the border, stormed the parliament, torched the ballot boxes, and insisted that they had actually won the presidential election. And the tactic worked and was then repeated in Georgia in 2003, the Ukraine in 2004 and 2014, among other places. So imagine their shock when the U.S. ambassador in Belgrade disavowed them instead. Violence and vandalism against state institution has no place in a democratic society, Christopher Hill pronounced. Grievances should be raised through legal, peaceful, non-violent means. But I note here as I look and read and think, but peace through legal, non-violent means. Really? Has no one else noticed that it's the best we can do? Here, the Bar Association is the best we can do, rule of law? And democracy brand of injustice that operates at civil war courts under color of justice to placate the occupied inhabitants, the disenfranchised slaves with their servitude to the U.S. federality district called the Equal Rights, 42 U.S.C. 1981, what is deemed to be civil war rights, and then they call them equal rights because they're equally imposed on all. It's colorblind. Everybody is in this service, is in this servitude. We're essentially disenfranchise slaves. If you really can't vote actually for the people that you want, or your vote is not being counted right, or any of that interference, you're not dealing in a legitimate government. And remember, all what I'm talking about, the occupied people, occupations, you don't have to be told, folks. International law, post-founding father, Lincoln-era Libra Code imposes the burden that you knows them when you sees them, or in how they will treat you. Again, the bottom of a blockbuster, when I finally get it to posting, we're still having trouble. The bottom, we'll go to the past ones, you'll see the Libra Code's there, you get to the Libra Code, read it, it's right there, it tells us a ton of stuff. That's international law, folks, done back in 1899 and 1914, I think it was, but there it was, long since in our history. And has no one else here noticed, maybe other than my listener behind the woodshed, the violence and vandalism is reframed correctly, in other words here, than the propaganda of the occupier here in the obligation and duty to alter and abolish the state or the nation's national institution pursuant to constitutional preservation, or even under international law, the acknowledgement that an occupied people must throw off the occupier. And if you all don't hear in this the Palestinian right of resistance and the corollary lack of right of self-defense in the occupying Zionista regime, violence and vandalism reframed correctly would be our right to alter and abolish. In this case, it was a Western imposition, just crash it and smash it. It's not violence or vandalism where a people are resisting a tyranny under a color of authority, color of term, or a color of organization. So this doesn't mean you wantonly act in a way that the occupier will claim is violent, vandalistic, or even insurrection. But people need to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove here until the appointed time, as you've been planning, and at least as Sun Tzu respectfully would execute. And I think it's ironic, and I would ask you, don't you think it is ironic, taking at least the lead from a Chinese general and a military strategist to counter a more perfect Union military occupier. The Civil War courts, which would you go in here, at war in these courts, is the legacy of the lawyer named Lincoln, which still provisionally enjoys and suggests if January 6th didn't. The people have a long way to go before they can successfully fulfill either the constitutional or international law, and the people here, we the people, have already lost once, despite the Constitution's feeble acknowledgement relative to the alter-right of alter-abolish against international law or the natural dog-eat-dog world law. So this article is beautifully written, cross-border, cross-society, ostensibly counter-ism analogy here, that the article concludes in pertinent part. The joke could be on the rest of us, however, because again, the rules-based order means that those who have the blessings of Washington and Brussels can do no wrong. So when the people are always doing wrong, you got to understand what's going on here. This is an interesting article to speak from about the Serbian riots, but they're actually describing what's happening in America. They actually describe what any occupied people would be suffering, whether they see it or they don't. So, and occupied people are already subject to an administrative governance or rules-based order. And I would ask my listener do you enjoy the blessings of Washington or the new ordered world or Brussels? Clearly, the answer should be no here, don't you think? We do not get the blessings of Washington nor Brussels. In fact, you are a criminal. You are a contaminant. You are the problem. And this is no different. Just look out. No different than the reason than the occupied and open-air imprisoned Palestinians. You are that same thing. So, yes, the joke is certainly on us, as the author sees. No, not the U.S. us. The unresponsive we, the people us. Everywhere here, wherever, whatever the ism or ist claimed. Globally. It's the same. That's why international law is so interesting. It takes up all of this stuff. And people, I think, are oblivious to it. And I keep pointing out Kansas versus Colorado, 1907. The Supreme Court said international law is always working. We recognize it at all moments. So, again, one for Lieber Code. One more for Lieber Code. And this, so we do not respond, but the societal lethargy that's obstructing our protective instinct anticipates an already spreading condition amongst our population as we see this little neat story. The U.S. scientists warn zombie deer disease could spread to humans. Researchers in the U.S. have sounded the alarm over a spike in cases of chronic wasting disease among wildlife across North America, warning that the deadly virus could spread to humans. Okay, spread to humans. Here we go again. Let us toss into the bowels of this article where they admit that their unscientific scientism is mere dressing. We can read, so far, there have been no reported cases of CWD spreading to people, even though up to 15,000 infected animals were estimated to have been consumed by humans in 2017, according to the Alliance for Public Wildlife. For government wildlife. It's the king's deer, I suppose, here as we move on. But to the contrary, if you look here, there you go. No spread. Just as you find the facts and reality, in our societal lethargy and drooling cannot be blamed on deer now, even though this disease has infected 15,000 animals, and they were eaten, as the article claims. And if you look carefully, this is a very interesting, this is kind of a serious thing because it translates over into something else. You'll see that the pathogen is a forever prion, like abnormal pathogen, brain in a jar. Abnormal sounds quite like made in a lab, don't you think? A CWD researcher at the University of Minnesota explained that the illness is invariably fatal, incurable, and highly contagious, warning it is nearly impossible to eradicate once it infects an environment. Scientists have also noted that CWD is resistant to disinfectants, formaldehyde, radiation, the incineration of 600 degrees, and can persist in the dirt or surface for years. Well, I didn't see climate change listed there. But anyway, CWD is also known as a zombie deer disease and is caused by prions, abnormal transmissible pathogenic agents which alter the host's brain and nervous system, leaving the infected animal drooling, lethargic, stumbling, and with a blank stare. Now, isn't this prion disease what Clint Richardson was exposing in his movie Lethal Injection or another of his videos, I don't remember which, drooling, lethargic, stumbling, with a blank stare, and I think we get that list and we've identified what Biden has, maybe even half the administration. What do you think, folks, about this? Eating too much roadkill, perhaps? Maybe, maybe not. We've never found a case. We're just going to fear we go again. Scare you all to death. Maybe you think so you are. You seriously think you're going to die. You hypochondriac might actually do it. Remember the early story. But we don't have to wait too long for the scaremongering further. Epidemiologists are throwing a parting shot at us as we read here in this story. However, epidemiologists, remember they can be real trusted in the U.S. and Canada here, have warned, Kanukistan even, has warned that it could only be a matter of time as the disease is part of a cluster of fatal neurological disorders that includes the infamous mad cow disease and bovine spongiform encephalopathy. An outbreak of BSE in the UK in the 1980s and 90s led to the slaughter of over 4 million head of cattle and the deaths of 178 people who contracted the human variant of the disease, VCJD, through eating infected beef. But they haven't found 15,000 events elsewise, have they? But here we go. Keep pushing it. Epidemiologists, we can trust them. We're talking about the potential here of something similar occurring. No one is saying that it's definitely going to happen, but it's important for people to be prepared. So we know how useful epidemiology was to correct and inform us on the great Kobe swindle, right? And this is the same type of method here, and it originates with a deer and forever environmentally persistent, but just then you blame and call the cows your food, but not the king's deer? Okay, I got it. I think we can figure out what's going on here. And we can move on here. Speaking of culling animals, no, I mean the Zionistas. Israeli airstrike kills 76 members of one family. A UN agency employee was among those who perished in one of the deadliest strikes of the ongoing war in Gaza. Culling animals, these Zionistas are. More than 90 Palestinians, including 76 members of one extended family, have reportedly been killed in Israeli airstrikes that leveled two homes in Gaza, marking one of the deadliest bombardments in West Jerusalem's campaign against Hamas. I need to say West Jerusalem. Why do they have that title? It is a promotion. Moving on here. Friday's strike in Gaza City killed 16 heads of household from the Al-Mughabe family, a local health and rescue official said on Saturday. Among those who perished was a 56-year-old staff member with the UN Development Program, Izam Al-Mughabe, as well as his wife and five children. He had worked with the agency for nearly three decades. The loss of Izam and his family has deeply affected all of us, UNDP Administrator Akeem Steiner said in a statement. The UN and the civilians in the Gaza are not a target. This war must end. No more families should endure the pain and suffering that Islam's family and countless others are experiencing. More than 20,000 people have been killed and 53,000 wounded in the besieged Palestinian enclave. About 85% of Gaza's population has been displaced. The UN Guterres said 136 UN agency staffers have been killed, something we have never seen in UN history. Never seen in U.S. history, folks. An entire extended family destroyed, folks. Genocide, folks. That black mass ritual sacrifice as the nation of the world looked on, folks. It must end, folks. But this is all toothless rhetoric, folks, isn't it? Just keep talking. I'm astonished. Those that have the power doing really nothing. As we read, there's people that are concerned, but it's just about talk, just meetings. Amir Abdullahian's meeting with the anti-Zionist Jew leaders. Foreign Minister of Iran, Hussein Imar Abdullahian, held a meeting with the anti-Zionist leaders who were taking part in an international conference, just conferring, on the Palestine held on Saturday in Tehran. So talking, talking, talking. No real action. Nevertheless, we see there are anti-Zionist Jews confirming the deception that history records very clearly, aided by the same king that will protect his deer and cull your cows. Well, he supports the green religion. As the U.S. insists on supporting a genocidal political movement, we read in this next tab story, the U.S. and Israel face a powerful new enemy in the Middle East conflict. Washington's attempt to put together a coalition against the Houthis is attracting almost none of the regional powers. In yet another case of blowback reflecting the failure of the Western military intervention, it's in West Asia, Yemen's Hezbollah Houthi movement has inserted itself as an active participant in the ongoing war between Israel and Gaza. Without a United Nations Security Council resolution to back them up, usually required to make a militarization of a territory legal under international law, the U.S. has launched yet another foreign intervention. This one is significant because it failed to convince any major regional players to join, demonstrating the decline in American influence, but has also elevated the status of Yemen's Ansarallah. Under former U.S. President Barack Obama, Washington backed the Saudi-led coalition's intervention in Yemen back in 2015. Since then, some 377,000 people have died, largely as a result of a deadly blockade imposed on the majority of the country's population, while some 15,000 civilians have died due to direct conflict. That must have been those deer, those same 50, they looked in the wrong place. They must have been eating those deer. understanding the capabilities of Yemen's Ansarala, which was downplayed as a band of Iran-backed rebels in Western corporate media for years, the governments of the collective West have tried to pretend the Yemeni group is insignificant. Washington's recent decisions to form a multinational naval coalition to control the Houthis is an admission that they are a major regional actor. In fact, Ansarallah is the only Arab movement, that controls state assets and standing army that is participating in the ongoing war with Israel. Not talk here, folks. I've been talking about this. I've been mentioning it to you. Well, and here we have. Someone else is identifying it. Everyone else has conferences. These guys came out and said, no, we're going to do the principal thing. And I think they've been pretty straight up. I don't think they've attacked anything that wasn't Israeli connected at this point, the ships and all in the Red Sea. The U.S. attempted to help topple the current government in Sana'a, but ended up creating a battle-hardened group that has domestically developed capabilities well beyond those it possessed at the start of the conflict in 2015. Sounds like a lot of other places the United States has put its muddy boot. Maybe Afghanistan comes to mind quickly. But by every metric, the U.S. diplomatic stock has dropped internationally as a result of its handling of Israel's war in Gaza. It has failed to convince any major regional actors in West Asia to back its escalatory agenda, all of which are standing on the same side of Russia and China in calling for ceasefire. The world sees the hypocrisy of Washington. The level of human suffering being inflicted in Gaza is without precedent, breaking records in modern history for the tonnage of explosives dropped on such a small territory, in addition to the highest number of journalists, medical workers, and children killed in a single conflict. In reaction, the United States government has repeatedly blocked ceasefire resolutions that the UNSC gives Israel unlimited support unconditionally, and now threatens to drag the coalition of Western nations into a war on Yemen. The solution here is very simple. Ansarallah has said the blockade of ships to Israel will end when the war on Gaza ends. Washington has the ability to stop the war, but refuses to do so while it threats against Yemen will not work to achieve any result beyond further escalation. An amplification of what I said last week and presented as well. They're working from a principle. You can't buy these folks off. And I'm happy to see that it's out there. I don't like the wars. I don't like that the lies go on. And I don't like that a country that I'm having to stay in, and I probably have no better place to go, actually, because it's not like I believe that Russia's doing better. I've told you how they're deceiving their people. China's not better. I don't know where else it would go. We are just fallen as a nation, as society, as the people of America have been quiet to allow all this stuff and or be mind controlled by propaganda, the Western media, in order to believe that people committing genocide have a right to do that. But here, the threats that can work here are those that affect your life. And that's what I keep focusing on, trying to minimize these threats against us. We move over on into Ukrainian problems. These Ukrainian draft dodgers face a banking ban. And so this is, you're watching the same theme. They go right after what you need in life. This is, to me, just a reflection of other subject matter areas that are going to be doing the very same thing. But we can see it here in Ukrainian draft dodgers, and the government's coming to ban banking and other things. So they can't really live very well. Again, they have this rump state had no right to do what it's done. They tore up a draft peace plan before everything started. They tore another one up after it started. And now the Ukrainians are going to die to the last Ukrainian as the West's imposition, not wanting ceasefires, want to promote the military-industrial complex, whatever industries are going on, whatever the trafficking is going on, whatever drugs are going on, whatever energy corruption is going on, whatever development in the financial sector to exploit this land is, that we now see laid bare. Lawmakers in Kiev are considering denying crucial services to men avoiding conscription of foreign soil. Please just listen to here to social credit. Just Just listen to what we're willing to do now under some kind of a plausible reason. It's all a fraud. It's all a problem. It's all no right that the government has to do so, but they promote like they do. As we read, Umarov claimed in an interview on Sunday that Kiev sought to change the perception of military service among Ukrainians. They should consider it an honor, not a penalty, she has said. It's mostly like your equal rights. Consider it an honor that you live in a country where you have the right, equal right, to pay exactions of every kind and no other. Our focus is not on punishing a person, but on offering him opportunities so that a service member has no uncertainties about safety, he said. Particular restrictions that would be imposed on non-compliant citizens are subject to collective decisions. Talk about communism. This is a democracy? So let's take a note here for my next following point. The collective decisions here, immediately, the perception management that they're trying to do. I hope it didn't escape my listener, the question, even an oxymoron, heavy on the moron here. The government promoting a guarantee of safety and against uncertainties on a war front? And the doublespeak in doing so? This is not a punishment, but an opportunity? To go to a war front and die in a known losing meat grinder, and the cherry on top of all that, that this is some sort of innocent, declinable offer they're offering? This is where even the West has its citizens in this very same condition. And people are supposed to trust and defend and serve such a lying and deceptive government? We can read further here about that. Ukraine may punish draft dodgers who are hiding from mobilization abroad by denying them consular and banking services. Again, let's social credit this whole thing. Move this on over to the digital panopticon. They're just telling us what they're willing to do, and they're just making it sound like you're just some draft dodger, and you're going to get now imposed. And they're talking globally here. Don't underestimate what we're being told in this report. It sounds like we're talking about Ukraine and the war and all that. No, we're talking about what is moving in the world, the evil moving in the world upon everybody. Under the proposed law, the Ukrainian citizen ignoring a mobilization summons may be not be able to move from your 15-minute city. You wanted to mobilize outside? No, they're going to get you here. Mobilized summons may be denied consular services, the MP said. Such an individual would not be able to renew an expired ID, for example, or issue a power of attorney. If banks are included in the legislation, the credit cards and accounts of draft dodgers could be frozen. How about global warming heretics, folks? The Ukrainian government has merged databases of nationals, including those residing in other countries, and they're preparing to send draft notices electronically, the minister said, and, as he explained, the proposed mechanism for tracking people eligible for mobilization abroad. Real ID, national databases, international, draft dodgers, national databases. What are we looking at? Like the real ID, I've been saying this over and over, or the terror watch list, the 9/11-inspired Patriot Act provision that everyone is a national security threat and presumed criminal misdemeanor, tracked and traced by jail cell phone. What else do we need to know here? How much different will the dodgy, non-compliant token citizen be in the social credit digital national security panopticon? Conscripts are required to eat the bugs here to fight the next invented enemy to meet sustainable population genocide goals in protecting the technocrats running the global Gaia gulag. I don't think much at all would worry them at all to stop this. Not at all. I think this is part of the plan. Today, Ukraine, your neck to see the next governance victim. If you dare, lest the auto-digital demerits demote or deport you to yet another undeclared war front as a compliant non-person character. You're hearing all these terms, what they're turning everybody into. We the people think we're not part of it. We are the targets. And we want to see how pervasive is this threat. It's in the news. It was the sanctions. It was what you watch a sovereign being taken down by, and they were prepared So it didn't take them out. You're not prepared. It will take you out. Nobody's money safe in the West. Well, there is no money, but let's get off of that. Get to your gold and silver. Specie, money, not as money. Use it. Get rid of the taxation. Claim, make the claim for your property. Gold is property. It's not a commodity that way. It's a piece of property. Somebody's life is wrapped in that precious metal. Precious, folks. But nobody's money safe in the West if Russia's assets used to fund Ukraine. And this is just in a little bit of an analysis. This is what you're looking at, a control. When they have your assets and your assets, when they have your stuff, they will control your life. You have to be bigger than that. And I don't know that we are as a people, individually or collectively, even that collective. The U.S. media reported on Thursday that the Biden administration was considering using an estimated $300 billion in Russian assets frozen in Western banks to fund the Kiev government. Russian President Vladimir Putin has threatened severe consequences if the plan is put into action. If the Biden administration gets away with illegally using seized Russian assets to fund Ukraine, that would basically nuke the entire Western financial system, journalist Debosius Malik told Sputnik. I'm not exaggerating. If they're allowed to do this, then nobody's money is safe in the West. Period. Full stop. End of story, said the Serbian-American journalist, and another country outside of the G7 or NATO would be certifiably insane to hold any of its foreign currency or reserves or any assets in the West where it's accessible to the U.S. and its allies, because it would not be safe. They could make up any pretext to confiscate it. Take this as your guidance here, folks. This is what it's about. Venezuela had its assets seized by the U.S. and its Latin American and European allies, including Britain, Debosius Malik recalled. Washington claimed at the time that it was transferring them to Juan Guaido, the opposition leader that it recognizes the head of a government in exile based in the U.S. and going as far as to evict a Venezuelan diplomatic mission from its embassy. In practical terms, the measures meant that the government in Caracas could not access its gold reserves. It had been a creative interpretation of laws and regulations, said the journalist. However, now, in the case of Russia assets, this is this unprecedented next step. The journalist, mission creep, I guess. The journalist pointed out that the greenback is only the reserve currency because people buy U.S. securities, and that the rest of the world was essentially underwriting the massive U.S. debt estimated at $32 trillion. That's the only reason that inflation in the U.S. appears to be milder than it actually is. Take note, folks. If the world stopped underwriting the Federal Reserve, the Americans would have to actually face the consequence of this rampant money printing that the government has been doing for 40 years, Malik noted. This is a very solid case that open theft of assets would amount to an act of war, stated the journalist. He argued that the move may simply be a ruse to push Joe Biden's huge, huge supplementary funding bill through Congress. The journalist said that Washington had failed to think through the consequences of such actions. They really need to realize that this is a stupid idea that will hurt the West far more than it would hurt Russia, that Moscow has already priced it in and calculated into the policies, Malik added. So I'm not so sure that they don't realize the consequences. It seems a number of these consequences play right into the future that they want. Nevertheless, here, it is not inconsequential consideration that it would be a declaration of war. What Putin means by severe consequences is anyone's guess, but Russia has been doing pretty good in the economic war already declared against them with these sanctions. How has the U.S. fared in this? I think speaks more to the problem, as we read here from the next article, that we can get an amplification of what's in play, as crazy as it sounds. Again, I bring this up to show if the United States government will violate the law against a peer sovereign, what chance of protection do you expect in America, whether or not a token system citizen? De facto, my listener is already presumed a token citizen subject to 42 U.S.C. 1981. And I'm asking you to go read that short section. 42 U.S.C. 1981. For Civil War era, folks. More perfect union. Post-founding father era. As we read, crazy Biden idea could spark global financial crisis. The seizure of Moscow's assets would be seen as a very dangerous precedent by U.S. partners, Konstantin Kosachev has said. The White House proposal to seize frozen Russian funds and use them to help Ukraine is not only illegal, but could also shatter the entire global financial system. Let me highlight and interject. They state global financial system. That's a term. It has a meaning. Go find it on Wikipedia. I gave you the link. This is a thing. They recognize it. According to the Konstantin Kosachev, the vice speaker of Russia's upper house of parliament, writing on Telegram on Friday, Kosachev said that there was no legal basis for the crazy initiative. He recalled the central bank's sovereign funds are shielded by special immunity under customary international law, and no jurisdiction is allowed to impose any coercive measures on them. How many points in that paragraph have you heard me talk about over the years? Exactly what the government does. And exactly what's involved in the subject matter areas. This is not a joke, a subjective opinion. This is exactly what's going on. And they can see it in Russia. Moreover, the senator continued that if the U.S. were to seize Russian assets, it would violate not only international law, but also domestic legislation. He alluded to the 1976 Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, which protects the assets of foreign central banks, adding that many U.S. allies have similar laws. International judicial and arbitral practice confirms that it is impossible to impose seizure on funds belonging to central banks and sovereign wealth funds, Kosachev stressed. By disregarding this practice, the U.S. is setting up a very dangerous precedent that will harm the entire global financial system, he repeats. Now, notice this vice speaker knows all about the global financial system. He mentions it by name. He explains, as I have said, it's going to that existing system that's going on, the system exists. All this is going into that existing system, no matter what it looks like, and or whatever the promotion here for multipolarity is, remembering that both Russia and China have they're there and going to the modification of that system. Once they get everybody in, they have said they're going to modify that. And this is not a destruction. So ask again, what's in your wallet, folks? Who is playing your master's card? So here, what is Putin suggesting the severe consequences might be? It's in the article as well, as we can see, of the scope of what they can do, what they're planning to do. A potential seizure would trigger swift retaliation from Moscow, with the requisition of Western assets frozen in Russia being on the table, Kosachev warned. He had emphasized that Washington's move would be interpreted as a bad signal in many countries like China and Saudi Arabia, which would doubt the wisdom of holding their funds in euros or dollars. So here we have more U.S. nationals or corporate interests or properties will be obstructed or taken away in Russia that would only hurt the U.S. economy further. That is apparently what Bidenomics means, folks, destroying the capacity of America. The U.S. continues to spit into the hurricane. Spitting into a hurricane, folks. This is a gameplay likely beyond my comprehension at all. But I was taught not to wantonly spit, whether or not into a hurricane, or a himicane, for that matter. We just supposed to have some class. And the problem here is this: those insane enough to destroy all capacity and everything will use any method to achieve the goal despite its productive uses, as we read, Washington touts nuclear breakthrough. U.S. scientists have successfully repeated an historic experiment creating fusion energy, proving that the process can be replicated. However, scaling up ignitions enough to achieve utility-scale use of fusion energy could be decades away. The LLNL, that's a Lawrence Livermore Labs, National Labs scientist, triggered ignition by firing 192 lasers into a pellet of hydrogen fuel. Nuclear fusion is what keeps the sun and other stars burning and can potentially release far more energy than can be generated from fossil fuels. Fusion fuels include deuterium, the stuff that they're releasing over there in Fukushima. The claim came 1 year after the U.S. Department of Energy, DOE, reported that LNL scientists had achieved fusion ignition, marking the first such controlled reaction that yield more energy than used to produce it. Now, this is likely a framing problem, but such is science. Children playing with fire, haven't we been told forever, apparently not the they, but we, that we can't get more energy out than we put in. So what is this magic? Boy, pretty interesting here what they're admitting to. Isn't it also true that science, that they tell us that the sun referenced in the article is supported by a cosmology that the sun are balls of gas? And despite knowing as a gas there are not enough atoms available to fuse, isn't this also true that someone that can articulate and show better reality so much better than I here can due to mainstream scientism, that the sun is not a gas, but considered condensed matter? And doesn't my listener think it is interesting that LNL Labs used not gas, but a hydrogen fuel pellet? And I have to look and see, is water condensed matter and an incompressible hydrogen source? And do you think condensed liquid hydrogen is essentially graphene-like sheets, would hold more atoms closer together than water, or even more than helium-3, and makes that a better model for the sun than the gas model? We think these things through, the things they're telling us in the news, it starts to unravel what science has told us. And except for the government threats, helium-3, which appears to be shown to me here to be trapped in a primordial deposit on a graphene-like matrix on Earth, could be much more available than it's reported that here, that a gigawatt electrical plant year's production from hydrogen-3 would require 52.5 kilograms, which some calculate is a 19 megawatts of energy, which also uses would mean that 500 kilograms, a little over 1,000 pounds of helium-3, can produce 5 gigawatts of clean ecological energy in 24 hours a day for a year for a major city. 1,000 pounds of this stuff, this helium-3. And like I said, there's deposits on the Earth that have this. They're just not admitting to it. And I know a little bit about that in doing some research, and anyway, leave it right there. Very serious thing. The government doesn't want people to know about this thing, and this is not just a guess or a big, some theory. This is out there. So, but what have we taught all these years that has been denied to us? Something private inventors have been killed for, which reminds me here of Stanley Meyer. Remember, 192 lasers shot into a pellet. And I reference water being hydrogen and oxygen. And this is a little bit of a shift, a bit, but it's really close to what Stanley Myers did and who comes to mind when I'm talking about this stuff. But the last iteration of his idea, if you looked at it, was a laser fired into an optically resonant chamber that to split the then injected into an engine, the water that they put in was put into that chamber, and this laser went off. And it would then the engine would take the split water, hydrogen, oxygen, and fuse it together, extracting more motive power, fusing the atoms for reuse. That then they then here stumble about denying to us the better, awe-inspiring beauty of nature. Stanley Meyer was using the same system, having to use condensed matter to pull off this what appeared to be a miracle. The gentleman's dead. If you look at the history of it, I think he was poisoned for dinner. But this article was a great insight into an admission And not even the people at NLN believe the bovine mad cow excrement they feed to people, because as they point out in the article, there's apparently a lot more money available to develop nuclear weapons, not peace on Earth, as it says right in the article. We can read, U.S. officials also have claimed that the fusion advances will enable scientists to modernize the country's nuclear weapons. Not peace on Earth. The insane focusing on nuclear weapons as they back themselves into a corner. Here we see not faced with this insanity. What are we to do as we see nonsense going on in the world? What are you to do with it? I guess you just have to defend yourself, as we see an elderly Italian man fights off a migrant robber in Milan. Tilio Fini, the former coach of Italy's national fencing team, says the Algerian held him at gunpoint. Fini said the incident took place on Monday evening at the Piazza d'Agostini in Milan, near his home. The former coach said that he was coming back from a walk when he was stopped by a man and attempted to rob him. He says, I realized he was pointing a gun at me, and at that moment he ordered me to give me the money or the watch. What am I saying in the beginning of this broadcast? The infiltration of invasion that's going on by immigrants that are unchecked. And this story came right in line with all that I've been talking about, so I want to give you a little bit of pointers. Be careful on this one, though. Instead of complying, Feeney said he immediately reacted by attacking the robber. I punched him in the face and struck his hand, which made his revolver fly away, and then pushed him. He ended up being stuck between two scooters, and the coach recalled that after that, young people also stepped in and apprehended the criminal while waiting for police. I just say this is very dangerous, but this is what this gentleman decided to take action. Don't talk about it. And he go on to more of the story here you can read, but it says essentially Sweeney noted that there is too much evil around and that safety has become a problem. Once upon a time, there was a neighborhood police. Today, to defend yourself, you have to fend for yourself. Fend for yourself, folks. Fend ourselves, and it's about time. It's about the place to find themselves. Here, we have to find the place to do that. We can't just be victims of it all the time and allow these people to get by us, not just the immigrants, the officials, all these people that would come and profess to be authority, which are authorita. It's come to the time we have to fend for ourselves. What I've been asking people, understand, do your due diligence, understand better what's going on. Come in mutual aid with people that are of like minds, and then don't cause jeopardy upon yourself. You know, the only way I know that right now is to at least hit the black and white. It's not subjective. They can't make it up. All they can do is deny it, and then you can expose them. Whether that's good enough, I don't know. But we need to be able to fend for ourselves to defend ourselves. It's not a passive world, and there's no good cop to come and help us like we might have thought. And everyone might laugh about that, but that was a thing. That was an aspiration. You know, we've fallen far short. Now we got insanity ruling the world. And apparently no one knows what to do to stop that or even encroach to inhibit it. Hope something I said today will encourage you to think through the world, see the news as the notice it is for us, give us a heads up, choose where we need to go through it, learn what we need to learn ahead of it so that we can maybe just avoid it, not have to be part of that. Don't be Mr. Feeney. But if you are Mr. Finney, fend for yourself. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips or Nature Will.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.